This is Patty Garcia in Flagstaff. I'm the only one.
Aw. Well, were you enjoying the music?
No, I wasn't particularly, Anne.
Oh,
for you?
Shame. Well, last time I thought the music was actually a little more upscale than what I expected. I've listened to some fairly hideous hold music over the course of the past 2 weeks.
I bet. Yeah, well, Anne, that's true. Some is worse than other.
Wouldn't you know, I got another phone line ringing. I'm going to check out for a second and see who
this is. Lyle, this is Patty. Anne and I are the only ones so far, and I'm going to run down to the printer and get a printout.
Okay.
Hi, this is Anne. I'm back again.
Okay.
It was David Tirico. He's never done and got asked for a password, so I had to tell him the secret.
Who all is on here? Anne, I heard your voice.
That's me, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lyle here.
Lyle, hi.
And Lyle is...
Joy. Okay, we got Ron Joyner and myself and Steve's computer, so I'm guessing he's going to show up soon.
We have Steve's computer, but not Steve?
There was a telecon in the room just before us, and he was there, so... Dick, Simpson, and Ralph.
Patty's here.
Hi, Todd.
Good morning.
You know, I never got back. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Yay, he made it.
All right, I'm here. Thanks, guys.
Susie and Pete.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Good. Hi, Valerie. Welcome.
Hi. I want to hear about the standard stuff.
Okay.
Hey, Elizabeth, Ed is here too because he works here.
Great. Poor Ed.
He's pretending not to.
Hi, Mitch.
Hi, how are you, Elizabeth?
Doing well. We got a full roster this morning.
Long time no hear you, Mitch.
Yeah.
Oh, we got imaging, we got engineering. Is there anyone we don't have? Dave, I'm sorry, I've forgotten what you represent.
I'm with the Small Bodies No Death.
Small Bodies, that's great. Okay, thank you.
We're becoming more and more schizophrenic as time goes on.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow, we got everybody. Okay, I'm going to read the list of names. Let me know if I missed anyone. Ann Rao, Lyle Huber, Dick Simpson, Steve Joy, Ron Joyner, Steve Hughes, Patty Garcia, Todd King, Betty Sword, Dave Tirico, Susie Slavny, Keith Bennett, Valerie Henderson, Ed Ganess, Mitch Gordon, and me, Elizabeth Rye. Anyone I missed? Okay, sounds good. Okay, we've got two things on the agenda this morning, the agency ID SCR and the review of the standards reference. Why don't we start with the agency ID? Ron, would you mind providing a brief introduction to this?
No. That was brief.
Where did our second mic go?
So in response to some work we've been doing with ESA and PSA and the fact that there's going to be shortly more and more international data sets, we've got MEX data coming out, if not already out. Shortly, ESA was expressing sort of a desire that our query mechanisms and search mechanisms at least give them some sort of credit that those data sets are not PDF-specific or NASA-specific data sets. So in response to their concerns or desires, however you want to characterize it, I wrote this SCR, and I think it's fairly straightforward. We're going to basically just put a keyword out there that is optional. We're going to modify our database ever so slightly to have a new field that will hold an agency ID identifier and modify the query screen and the results screen.
If I could add something to Ron's comments, speaking with Dan this morning, he has talked with Rita, and I would strengthen what Ron has said in terms of the urgency of getting this passed. Rita has made it very clear that she believes it would be embarrassing for the PDS for us to link, have an interface that links to European data that appears as if it was NASA data, that we absolutely have to have appropriate identification that that data is coming from the Europeans, that it's their data. So, yeah.
And I hate to put geoscientists on the spot, but you know, the SCR does say that geoscientists express concern, so I believe that, Susie, did you want to say anything about this effect?
What is the concern that we expect?
Geoscientists express concern that ESA might feel slighted by PDS if this data, you know, came up in the system and was...
Yes, they would.
Yeah.
And Joe Zender did send comments to Elizabeth, and I assume she's considered them. There are a couple. I have a couple questions and a comment. I'll do the comment first, which is what Joe said. And I think Dick Simpson also made this point that it's not clear what the agency ID, how you set that value, because it's possible for it to be confusing. A data set could be produced for a European mission by a U.S. investigator, for example. So do you consider who's paying them, or you know, it's not as straightforward as it sounds. So we just need to make sure we set some guidelines. And then my question is, how will this show up, when, if this is implemented as proposed, how will this show up on, say, the PDS search page and so forth? What do we have to do here at the nodes to support this?
Okay, I believe I can answer the second of your questions more easily. I think Ron spelled out pretty explicitly in the SCR exactly where in the online interface the information would show up.
He didn't, because I couldn't find it either.
Okay, well, he's provided screenshots of the various different interfaces and then specified it would show up in X column. You know, we would add a new column, it would be second from left or whatever, to each of those interfaces saying where that information would show up.
I'm looking right at it and I'm not seeing it.
I think it's page 6. It's not there. He just says that's where it will go.
Yeah.
What you see a screenshot, and then there's text describing how that screenshot will be altered such that the information will appear.
Boy, not in the copy that I have. I better go back and make sure that I actually have the complete copy. I have 4 pages, and there's not a single thing like
it's,
that.
It's an 8-page.
Oh, Joe Zender, you made it. Great.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. Hi there.
So is the usual standards tracking page working now, or do we still have to use the alternate link?
I would recommend using the alternate link just for the moment. It's the copying process is now working, but I haven't used it yet. So.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to dig back through email to find
that. It's just PDS Web 1.
That answers my question then, the question about how it will appear, because I was looking at the old one, and I'm now looking at the new one, and in fact, there are screenshots, and it says agency ID will be inserted here on this page. So that satisfies me anyway.
Okay. I'm trying to remember what the other part
of the question was, what do we at the nodes have to do if we have a data set to submit? How do we support this? Because it's not clear to me where this keyword goes.
Right.
What catalog file is it going to?
Right, and that's actually a subject that we need to discuss at this meeting. The two main options are, do we include this in the so-called data set housekeeping object, or do we include this in the formal data set catalog object?
I never see a housekeeping object. I'm not sure how to answer.
Exactly. The housekeeping object is something that's completed here at the engineering node upon ingestion. So the issue is this an important enough keyword that it deserves to be in the data set catalog object, which we would be fine with. That's just, you know, it's a major change. You guys need to make that decision. Or do you want us to handle it at this end within this internal housekeeping object?
Well, wrong with having it in the valdesk.cat? That seems to be the logical place for it.
It's done by data sets.
Yeah, it's done by data set, not volume.
I had sort of assumed it ought to be in data set. Is there some argument against putting it there?
None. I think the only issue is, are you guys willing to have a change to the data set catalog object? I mean, you know, we've always obviously had discussions recently that changes to catalog objects are a big deal.
This would be required in the data set?
I believe it would be, yes.
No optional fields in catalog objects.
Yes.
So, but it is optional in housekeeping.
Well, nobody does housekeeping objects now, and there are other problems with the housekeeping object. For example, this definition is given here. If you try to run this through LVTool, it will fail because there is no such thing as a resource underscore DESD keyword.
Don't worry, we caught that one. Like I say, the big thing to focus on is, do we go in the dataset catalog object? If not, then we'll basically take care of it internally in this housekeeping object. That's the only issue. Do you want us to take care of it, or do you guys want to take care of it?
I don't think that's the only issue, but I think
I didn't mean to say that was the only issue. That's the issue we're trying to discuss now. That's sort of my summary of it, I guess.
Here's my thinking. If it's that important And I guess, I'm guessing that you will probably have to determine governing agency in the memoranda of understanding, because it's a complicated and touchy issue. If it's that important, and it seems to me it's at least as important as data producer, then it belongs in the data set file. Plus, it's an intrinsic property of the data set. That's not something that's going to change.
Fundamentally, I agree with Anne.
On the other hand, this could be something that's similar to the curating node ID, which ended up in the housekeeping.
Yeah, it shouldn't be there either. Or actually, the concept of curating node ID could be in housekeeping, because that might ostensibly change.
Yeah, and so I'm saying that the agency ID, in a sense, is a curating agency.
Agency ID will never change. A data set that was produced by ESA will always have been produced by ESA.
Yeah, there's no curation involved.
Right. Yeah. I think this is a funding and a credit issue, and the funding, the original source of funding, and the original person who should be credited will never change.
Okay, I am not hearing any strong objections to putting this in the dataset catalog object.
I hate changing catalog objects, but I think this really does belong in the catalog.
Okay, then the...
Could I ask a question which is a little bit off the subject, but perhaps related? Is the question whether the source of the data, when you come in online through a web page, are we actually linking to the PSA? Is that the question? Or is it where the data set originated? Because if it's with the data set, then it just moves around with the data set. And a data set that started in ESA but was eventually ingested by PDS would still carry the ESA keyword. But if it's a matter of linking, then it depends on how you connect. And it will change from time to time.
I think it's a matter of giving credit.
Yeah, the way I'm reading it, Dick, the idea is to track the person, the agency that originally produced the data set, so that when we develop interfaces where you can see data sets from any agency, you have a way to identify the original parent agency.
Yeah, that's what makes more sense to me, but Elizabeth explained it in terms of the linkage, and I was getting a little confused.
Okay, then I misspoke if I said that, Dick. The linkage should be essentially hidden from the user. It is an issue of we want to give credit of, you know, whose data set this is, whether or not they're actually getting the data from GEO or from the PSA in Europe. We need to be giving credit to ESA.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
And Dick, I need to address the issue you said ingestion. Just so everybody realizes, it's the ingestion of the catalog information, the data set information into the PDS catalog. The data is not being ingested.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'd like to ask a hypothetical.
Yes. So
especially with data analysis programs, it's possible that a researcher will develop a data set that contains data from multiple agencies. Now, are we saying that there's only one agency ID for a data set? I mean, is that an implied sort of limitation on data sets now?
Could it be multi-valued?
Well, if it is multi-valued, which part of the data set belongs to who? Or is credited to.
Or in these international missions where the investigator is funded by one agency and the mission's run by another. I think it almost has to be multi-valued, but
now
this gets really complicated.
Right. I was thinking, when I thought about this, thinking, okay, if we have this type of situation, should we treat agency like we do sort of instrument or something, that we have an agency ID and an agency catalog object, and we put the agency IDs in the label?
No, I don't think that's
a
good idea.
No?
No.
Okay.
I mean, what we're getting down to is Cassini is a NASA ESA mission. We don't actually bother with which part of which instrument is whom. But when we get the data set, if the data set's produced by both sides, then both sides are going to need to be included in the keyword.
So then agency ID has to be multi-valued?
Yes.
Can be multi-valued, yeah.
Or can be.
Will you ever have a realistic situation where two agencies really produce a single data set? Because even in Rosetta, where this is an issue, it's not true that two different agencies are producing a single data set. Because international funding doesn't work.
What would
happen? Yes, Anne, the answer is yes. I have one for you in
the
Huygens mission.
What's the situation?
Well, the Huygens descent trajectory data set is derived from both the DISR instrument, which is an American instrument, from the POSI and the DWE instruments,
right.
Which are European instruments.
Yeah, but who's paying to have the data set produced?
It's a team.
Can I ask a different question? Is there a problem with having this keyword have the multi-value option?
This is one thing I wanted to ask Steve. Is there any issue with having multi-valued keywords in catalog objects?
No.
Okay.
Well, the way they're implemented right now are sub objects. Repeat itself. If you're asking, can you put the curly brackets and then multiple values?
Yeah.
But it's the same concept. Effectively, you could allow multiple values.
Well, then, but what you're saying is we actually need to have a sub object as
sub-object.
Opposed to simply making a keyword
yeah.
in the data set information
sure.
object.
Yeah, sub-object.
So data set. Agency sub object. That's a little more complicated. Okay, but it has one keyword.
Yeah.
And you small. Okay. Well, then that would now would that be a sub object of data set information or simply a data set?
Yeah, data set. It'd be similar to the data set part.
Data set agency.
Well, that's only because we reflect the schema of the database into the catalog object.
No, it reflects as a relationship between the data set and
right. I mean, there's no reason why you can't take multi-value and.
Well, it is multi-value.
And you know, spread it out into a database structure somehow. But that's just a technical comment there.
Okay, so the structure, the way we're going to do this is we're going to have a data set agency sub-object of the data set catalog object. It will contain one keyword, which is the agency ID. Now, the other issue that we need to resolve is, do we need to more clearly define what this keyword is? Do we intentionally retain a little bit of ambiguity so that the mission and the PDF can work that out?
Well, hang on a second. I think you've just made the situation more complicated. If you create a data set agency object, don't you have to create a new catalog object to define an agency? Because the object-to-object relation is much more complex than the simple keyword, which is just a parameter of an existing object. That's the way it works with every other sub-object now.
I know. I mean, the issue is, do we need it or not? I mean, if we need more information about the agency object, we'll create an agency object. If all we're doing is capturing the agency ID, then we'll need another table in the database, but we don't need another object.
I don't understand why we can't have a multi-value keyword in the dataset information object.
Yeah, neither have I. I've been having that argument for 10 years.
Yeah, we can do it. It really doesn't make that much difference whether it's a sub-object.
So fundamentally, the issue would be the impact in terms of changes to PDF parsing software.
But I think the issue on the table is, are we going to have more information about an agency than just the ID? And then we can go.
Is it that, or is it?
I don't think we're going to have any more information than that.
Well, didn't the example already raise the issue of ESA, different parts of ESA?
Okay, so what I need to hear then is an impact from Steve on how big an issue this is going to be in terms of software changes.
Okay. If I understand the issue is that we're simply going to add an agency ID and we want it to be multi-value.
Yeah, and this will
okay.
be in the data set information sub-object.
The simplest way to do that is to add a current, to add a agency sub-object to the data set template. The way that's handled internally doesn't make a difference whether it's another object or not.
Okay, now is this because you're suggesting that we need to add a new table as opposed to simply adding a new field to the existing data set information table?
If you have multi values out of agency ID, you can't add it to an existing
table. You can't do it as a text string?
It's our table by according to design rules.
Can I offer a suggestion?
Go ahead.
And for those multi agency or joint agency things, can't we just have an ID for a joint agency effort? Instead of putting two IDs,
what do you think?
There won't be that many permutations of joint efforts, perhaps.
Some may want to be first rather than second.
And that might be appropriate
so
in some cases, I guess. But
use digits instead of letters in this document and have a table so that what everybody else sees is the names. And if you allow the field to be 10 digits and each ID is 2 digits, and you just went in the order for whatever precedent they need that time.
I think the struggle we've got is how we ingest this information into the catalog.
Right. And,
and I think, Todd, you brought up an interesting result. I want to hear Steve's response to it, or an interesting suggestion. I want to hear Steve's response to it.
I actually didn't understand your comment, Todd. Are you saying that you, instead of just PSA, I'm sorry, instead of ESA PSA and NASA PBS, there would be other identifiers created to
yes.
These other entities?
Right. Suppose it's a joint ESA-NASA. So
right.
It would be ESA underscore NASA, or maybe, you know, maybe some syntax like a dataset ID has, you know.
Okay, that makes sense. And then you definitely can add new agency IDs according to the DSCR.
Right, and there could be a formation rule for the dataset ID.
Right, and it's a dynamic standard value type, so you definitely can add it after review by the standards committee. But it sounds like you're going back to the single agency ID. It's going to be the multiple agency.
Well, that's what he's exactly
right, because
suggesting.
Because
yeah.
The
yeah,
discussion here says if we do something different, it's a bigger impact.
No, that works.
Okay, anyone else have a reaction to that suggestion?
I like it. I think it makes a lot more sense.
I think it would be really complicated. This is Ed. For instance, take the example of NASA ESA. Is it going to be NASA ESA, or is it going to be ESA NASA? Are you going to allow both?
So the maximum number of values is 2, NASA slash ESA, ESA slash NASA.
Well, there will be joint things with the Japanese and JAXA and all those others.
Sure. Are we ever going to have as many combinations as we have data set IDs in a standard value list? So if we can handle data set IDs in a standard value list, can't we handle a couple of dozen different permutations of 4 or 12?
That's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what do we got, 5 or 6 agencies in the world right now?
A few more than that, but not many. Maximum length is 25. That gives us plenty of room to work with. I like it. Anybody else have any strong objections?
I'm not sure I understand what the proposal is.
Todd is basically proposing that rather than trying to figure out how we're going to have multiple values, simply come up with a single value as part of the standard value list that lists both agencies.
Well, there could be 3. I mean, this is not quite as simple as that.
Well, we've got 25 characters to work with right now. If it comes up in the future that there is some mission that or some data set that genuinely has 3 different space agencies involved, and we absolutely need to have the length of this thing increased, we'll deal with it then. Yeah.
Are we talking about... This gets into one of the questions I sent by email. Are we talking about archiving organizations? Are we talking about government space agencies? Are we talking about the Ford Foundation? What exactly are we allowing to go into this field?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'd like to know how this is going to work. Otherwise, it'll be just useless.
The reason I said that is because we've had long discussions on this here as well.
Okay, sorry. Let me just go back to... My original position on this, and it's back to what I said earlier, was that it's similar to the curating node ID. It's simply where the data is being curated. It's either at ESA currently or it's at the PDS, or it's at NASA PDS. And so in this sense, it's the curating agency and system. And it's, in a sense, it's only custodial. Who has it? Not any type of attribution to the producer who owns it, that type of thing. It's simply where you go to get more information.
But
if I disagree?
That gets back.
Okay. Can I follow up on Steve's comment first? Because, again, this is part of the discussion we had here. I would actually disagree a little bit with Steve that I think when he talks about curating agency, in a sense, there is some ownership implied. And one of the things that I brought up earlier is which agency has the right to change or to supersede the data? For example, if we happen to be distributed...
When did agencies have that right to begin with? I thought that was up to the person who turns the data in, not an agency.
Well, in the PDS, for example, long after the Voyager mission is gone, we have the right to, for example, update the labels to make them compliant with some new version of PDS.
Sure, PDS can do that.
Exactly.
But the data, the person who turned in the data set may have reanalyzed the data, and that person also has the right to turn in a new version.
Okay. But
but NASA doesn't necessarily issue an order at headquarters and say, we're going to redo it.
No,
but they probably won't because it'll cost money.
Yeah. But in this scenario, it sounds as though they would be the primary group that would use this.
Hang on. The standard value is not NASA. It's NASA underscore PDF.
Well, that's one of my questions.
PDF is the agency that issued the data. It's the publisher of the data. And they're the ones that can reissue the data, the ones that can make a data set obsolete. Even if the data provider wants that done, they do it through the PDF.
Okay, a lot of data sets come out with JPL rather than PDS.
Well, I think that's in the past.
Okay, that's an issue of the volume set ID. That's not this agency ID. The agency ID would not be NASA JPL, it would be NASA PDF. And so, taking this analogy now to the European case, again, GEO may have the data, GEO may distribute the data in the U.S., but the Europeans are the only ones who can say, that data set is no longer valid, here's the new data.
Okay, so how about a data set that comes from Palomar and is funded by the Ford Foundation?
Who's archiving it?
Well, presumably PDS.
Why?
Because it's useful ground-based data.
Yeah.
Okay, then it's still a PDF.
Okay, so who's archiving it?
Yeah.
PDS.
So this is really an archiving organization identifier.
You know,
not an agency, not a government agency.
There are two concepts, and they're getting conflated, and I think that's a bad thing.
Right.
The first concept is the data home. If you want the best available copy of the data, where should you go?
Okay, I don't.
You can also think of that as curating. The other concept is credit. Who actually is responsible for this data set existing in the first place? And that's closer to a funding agency concept.
Right.
The very reason that I've been pushing on for the first half. I'm trying to stay away from credit. I'm trying to say, where is the home of this data? Who's got the responsibility for it? Who gets credit for it?
Okay, you know what, folks?
Well,
let's, for the sake of this conversation, drop the word curating, because we're all using it in different ways. If we look at what Ann was just saying, there's the issue of where is the data physically located? Was that a fair summary of your first?
The master copy, yes. Where is the master copy of the data?
Okay, I'm going to argue against you, Steve, on this one, because that master copy of the data can move. And I think what we're after is something that's more permanent.
Yeah, if you're worried about offending ESA, you can really only do that by taking credit that they deserve. And that's a funding. That's more closely tied to the original source of the funding.
Now, this is where I'm going to disagree with you, Ann. I'm not sure that this is strictly a funding issue.
No, it's not strictly a funding issue, but there is a funding issue, and it should be disconnected from the master copy issue.
Okay. Then let me bring up a third category that's sort of a combination of your two, and that's who is responsible for the data. And this gets back to exactly the wording that Ron used.
I don't understand that concept.
Custodian.
But that's the master copy.
Yeah, I don't understand what you mean by responsible.
Okay, I guess I would get back to the example that I gave earlier. Who has the authority to change the data?
Well, these data are in the public domain. Everybody in the world has the authority to submit a different version of these data.
Not that's going to be recognized and republished by the same organization.
All right. In that case, everybody in the serious astronomical community that knows something about that discipline has the authority to recommend a change and submit a new version of the data.
And who do they recommend and submit it to?
Whoever they feel is appropriate. Once the data are in the public domain, you can't control what happens to them. They are not
copyrighted. And you do that all the time. You make former data sets obsolete and publish later data sets.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that the Atmospheres node can't do exactly the same thing for the same version of the data set.
But it has to be done through the PDF.
No, it doesn't. We have people in the public who take our data and do things with it.
But it's no longer a PDF data set in that case.
That's right, but then they give us credit, which is where the credit issue comes in.
I don't understand your point, Ann.
No, I think you're making this more complicated than it is.
Well, I think we're not headed towards a convergence, but go ahead.
I would add to that, I mean, acknowledgement, just like papers or data or anything, acknowledgement is something I don't know if PDS fully has come to terms with.
No, I thought the idea with this SCR was to provide the same sort of acknowledgement as you see in a Referee Journal article where it says this research was conducted with funding from NASA grant, whatever.
Okay, folks, we already have a citation description that does that.
Different thing. That's a different thing. Citations, you cite the author who did the work. This acknowledgement acknowledges the funding agency who funded the work.
Okay, it is not clear to me that that is what Gio and Rita and Joe Zender are looking for. Joe, do you want to weigh in on this?
Actually, I must say it's difficult to follow your discussions, and I have a few more situations where this is tricky, actually. One would be, for example, the Giotto data. The Giotto was flown by ESA, but the data was archived by PDS. Another tricky case might be a cluster, which is not something we archive now, but just to mention to you the case. It's a mission flown by ESA, and the data sets are prepared, at least a few of the data sets are prepared by French sub-organizations who are financed by CNES, which is another space agency. And
okay.
I think actually we should distinguish the idea of who is flying the mission, which is, I believe, very near to what you're saying, who has the overall responsibility. And then we should distinguish this to the point of who's responsible for the archiving.
And every one of those deserves acknowledgement.
Okay.
Yes.
Everybody in the chain.
Everybody may deserve credit, but the issue is, on our online interfaces, with that one field that we've got, who do we want, what is the most appropriate agency among those that you listed, Joe, be highlighting in the example that you just gave of the Giotto data?
I think we have to distinguish for the Giotto data. I think the actually ESA should be given the credits to have archived the data.
Welcome back.
Joe, could you repeat that, Joe? We got interrupted and didn't hear anything.
Okay. I said ESA for Giotto. ESA should be given the credits for flying the mission. And PDS, Small Bodies Note, should be given the credits for archiving the data.
So now we have two agency IDs.
No, it's more an agency ID, and it might be an archiving ID.
Well, that's what I meant.
Well, we've already got curating node ID in there, right?
That assumes a PDS node. That may be
it does. However,
but it does assume
there's
it.
Nothing that says we can't put, say, PSA in that field.
No, that's true.
That's a good point. We could use curating node ID and expand that to include non-PDS institutions. And use the agency ID. Now, Joe, how would you then define the agency ID? If we make the curating node ID the archiver,
yeah.
Who is the agency ID?
I think this is the agency who has the overall responsibility on the mission.
So we're back to the word responsibility. Is everybody in that case, if we clarify the distinction between that and the curating node ID, is everybody now satisfied with the wording?
Well, I'd like to see it written down.
Okay.
I think you have to consider, you take in the discussion ESA, PSA as an example, as I'm communicating with you. But we should look actually, what are the situation in Japan and India, for example? I think in Japan also they have a space agency, but they have institutes who actually might take over the archiving. So we have to see if they are compatible to what we are discussing now.
Okay.
Joe's right in that regard. The Japanese space agency is sort of like a PDS in the sense that they have lots of individual institutes that maintain different data.
And that's fine, and that can be represented in a parallel manner with NASA underscore PDS. We could have whatever the Japanese Space Agency is, JAXA underscore ISAS, or whatever the local institute is.
Right, yeah, about 10 or so.
Elizabeth, can I comment?
Yes.
Hi. I'm having trouble trying to understand what problem we're trying to solve. And if we start with what Joe said, there's a desire to understand what institution, agency, node, however you want to say it, is the primary curator of a data set and has the master copy, if you will. And I think we're just going down the road of changing the concept of curating node ID to include institutions or facilities other than a given PDF node. The other part of what Joe said, who has the overall responsibility of the mission, then that seems to me is not at a data set level, but at a mission level. So I'm just trying to struggle with what problem we're trying to solve. I understood what Steve Yu said, and that you have a data set, and he was kind of saying the same thing. Who has responsibility for the master version of that archived data set?
Okay, I think the issue that we're struggling with, Ed, your first part summarizing the discussion about the curating node ID, I agree with completely. The second part, I don't believe we can simply look at this at the mission level because of precisely the case that both that Lyle brought up, where you've got Huygens data. The mission is an ESA mission, but the data is actually being produced jointly by NASA and ESA. We've also got cases of data sets where the PI and the funding may be American for a European mission or something like that. So I think we still need to look at this on a data set level.
But at a data set level, in terms of credit, we all already have a producer that includes a name and an institution, and we already have a citation for a data set. So I'm just struggling with how much more credit do we have to give to people.
Okay, let's throw that back then into Joe's lap. What's your response to what Ed just said?
Ed, could you repeat this again, the last sentence?
Yeah, Joe, with an individual data set, we have a place for noting the producer and their institution, and that, you know, sometimes the PI, sometimes some other facility. And we also have, with the data set, we have a citation description, which is effectively a reference to a data set. So I'm trying to struggle at the data set level, how much more do we have to do to properly credit the source of that data set? And what you were saying that what seemed to me is somehow at more at the overall mission level, denoting whether a mission is an ESA activity or a JAXA activity or a NASA activity. We're still trying to struggle with what problem we're trying to solve with this keyword.
Yeah, I'm afraid actually we have two problems there. I think we have this mission level and responsibility problem, which seems to be there is a kind of agreement to put it at the mission catalog level. But the other one is the credits for the archiving, and this actually might not be clear really what this means. I think for you and the U.S., I think also in the U.S., it's not really clear who's really going to archive the data. Maybe it is, but in Europe, it's definitely not clear. So right now, for the missions we are running, it's the PSA who took the initiative now from ESA to do this. But on Cluster, this was discussed, and it might have been somebody else doing it. So it's not clear actually whom to give credit to, or what the possibilities and alternatives might be for this. I don't know how to call it. The name curating was mentioned, or the responsibility, or archiving responsibility. It's not clear to me.
Okay. I'm going to make the argument that there is some value in intentionally retaining a little bit of ambiguity in this word. And the reason is, as somebody stated earlier, a lot of these international agreements are going to come about with some kind of a memorandum of understanding. And what we want to do is maybe come up with a keyword, this agency ID, that allows flexibility for the parties that are negotiating that understanding to come up with whatever they want and what they choose as the institution or institutions to be credited in this short summary, one column in an online interface kind of manner. We can make it clear that this is not the curating node and explain that what it is not, but maybe we need to leave them a little bit of wiggle room on exactly what they want to say.
Can I ask one question here? Is the ultimate goal to make the PDS catalog a world view of data holding? Is that what we're really striving for?
Absolutely not. What it is a alternate view. I mean, BSA is going to have their view, which is going to show, I mean, I'm assuming, Joe, you can correct me on this, I'm assuming Joe's going to show PDS data sets, and we're just an alternate view, Chandra, from the PDS perspective.
Well, okay, world, I assume, you know, I didn't mean like everything. Well, whatever.
I didn't want to kill the centralized.
So the catalog, then, the ultimate vision is that the catalog is going to contain references to things that aren't held at PDS sites.
Exactly.
That is correct.
Exactly.
It's basically going to be a network of agencies with data holdings with multiple interfaces.
Why isn't that a higher level function than the individual systems? Why does the internal PDS inventory and catalog system have to know anything about things outside? Why can't you have a multi-agency catalog that looks at everything?
Because right now we've got the PDS interface, and we're going to be linking to ESA data, and we want to give them credit through our interface. I mean, this is an issue
okay.
We're dealing with now. There's data that's being ingested now that we need to represent.
But if it's ingested into PDS, it's a PDS holder.
No, it's being ingested by the PSA, and we are linking to it through the PDS interface.
Okay, but that's an operational choice that means that I don't know, are we doing what we should be doing? I'm not sure on that.
I think, Todd, you have a good point, but I think it's more of the long-term vision and the requirements being developed this time. That should definitely go into that in terms of is there a need for some type of agency interface separate from what we have. But as Elizabeth says, right now, we have a catalog. We're going to be ingesting data which is not NASA data and pointing to it. I'm sorry, we're going to be updating the catalog to point to data that isn't necessarily NASA data, and we have to be able to reference that and show that.
And forgive me, Joe, if I am misspeaking, but I believe it's in the interest of both the PSA and the PDS to be making the data from each agency available through their interfaces.
Exactly.
Well, Rita certainly thinks so.
Yes, yeah, the management council's behind that.
Rita's behind, as the representative.
As I believe is GEO.
Yeah. And the issue here is interoperability and correlation of data.
I think that it did come up the last management council, and the council itself said that it didn't make sense to do it any other way but to link to each other's data.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I didn't hear any resolution on your suggestion.
Yeah. What were the reactions to intentionally leaving a little bit of ambiguity in the exact meaning of this keyword? Sort of coming up with text that defines what it's not, and then leaving some room for the agencies involved to identify it.
I'm sorry. Could you just repeat what you mean by the keyword?
Agency ID, specifically.
And it's defined as your definition of it was?
My definition of it would be, I would continue to use Ron's word, it's the responsible agency. We will make it clear in the text that it is not the curating agency, that being defined as the archiving institution. And that information should be stored in the curating node ID.
Elizabeth, do we really think the people negotiating the MOUs are going to know about this keyword?
My problem is I suspect that the people negotiating MOUs are going to come up with something that they're going to want to make sure that their agency gets credited. They're not going to have a clue about our standards, so it doesn't matter how precisely we define it. They're going to insist that it be something else.
Right. So if we define it ambiguously, then how are our users going to know how to interpret the information in it?
How's the catalog going to deal with it?
Let's remember that the primary purpose of this, in terms of its use, is through an online interface. As you've already mentioned, we have far more detailed fields like the producer full name, or the producer object, and all the rest of it. Excuse me. What we want is a short identifier that when somebody is coming in and looking at an online interface, they can see, number one, to give credit, this is an ESA data set, and number two is they actually want to sort on either PDS or ESA. You know, either NASA PDS or ESA PSA data sets, they're going to be able to sort that way. I don't think the user that's coming in through the online interface is actually going to care all that much whether we precisely mean the organization that provided the funding or ran the mission out of their headquarters or whatever. I think that's a general enough use that it's going to be fairly clear to the user.
But if you leave the standard value list to the Department of State, we'll never be able to provide that information on an interface in a meaningful way.
That's not the intention, Dick. I mean, if you think about this keyword and what we're trying to do, it's a polite issue, right? This is not anything to do with function, form, anything necessary. We're trying to accommodate a future direction by being polite to those people. I think we're missing focus. So by intentionally leaving this definition ambiguous, somewhat ambiguous, then if they're offended by something, then they can negotiate how to make this a better situation. Most of the data that we're going to see is going to say NASA/PDF.
So it will be functionally non-functional.
No, because we already have a partner in this who is going to have data ingested in it in the immediate future, and that is ESA/ESA_PSA.
And remember, this is a high-level catalog. It's abstract. There's a general tendency to what the data is about, and ultimately drill down into the system to find what it is.
But if we're going to...
At the highest level, for example, we could make this a hot link. You go directly to, in case of ESA/PSA, you go directly to their homepage. And we're simply saying, you know, obviously they're more responsible for this data than we are, so go there to find out more specifics, which are probably going to be quite different than the things we're doing with here at NASA.
But that sounds like we're getting back to the linkage question.
And we can link. We can provide a resource. We have the current capability to provide a resource, which is simply the PSA ESA website or whatever Joe prefers us to link to takes people directly there.
This is not the linkage issue, because the linkage issue had to do with where with linking to the data. This is simply linking to the institution that Steve's talking about.
I'm sorry. This is high-level abstract, getting people to the right places so that the people that are the experts can answer your question.
I think if we're going to show this on a web page, like a data set search page, it needs to be clear and consistent in
exactly.
Its definition.
Yes.
Okay, then I will argue
we can hide our skeletons, but this is something that I think we're proposing to put up in the public view.
Okay. Go ahead.
I should just say that at an abstract level in a system like this, if you're going to ask for clear, concise, precise, and exact agreement across, you know, in this case, hundreds of, you know, of nodes, we're going to get this forever. This is abstraction.
No, it's somewhat declarative. You say, okay, ESA, this data is coming from where? You tell us what name you want to use for that location. And if they say it's ESA_PSA, that's what it is. If we want to call ourselves, self-identify ourselves as NASA PDS, then that's what it is. And that's what we are consistent in calling ourselves.
Okay, here is what I'm going to suggest. I don't think we're getting anywhere in our discussion at this stage. I believe Gio and Joe, you guys need to go away and work together to come up with a more precise definition. No?
Or agree on an imprecise definition.
Or agree on an imprecise definition. That's fine.
Actually, could I make a slightly different suggestion?
All right.
Since Rita and perhaps the entire management council think this is important, can we actually ask them what the hell they're talking about? Can we ask them to define the concept that they want us to codify? And we can give them two or three options. Do you mean the ultimate source of the funding? Do you mean the agency for which the principal investigator works? Do you mean the agency for which the principal data producer works? Just give them a list of three or four things that it might be and ask them to pick one or at least indicate which ones need to be at a high visibility level.
Okay. That's fine, we can do that. I definitely believe Joe has got to have input on this.
This is Joe talking. I will see Rika next week.
Okay.
She's in Europe, and we will at least meet for 2 days. So I assume there will be 1 hour where we could discuss this.
Because it sounds to me like that's a fundamental lack of definition that's causing a failure to progress. Sorry, was that too many words?
I understood it.
All right. We will come up with some sample definitions. We will hand them off to Rita, and she can discuss these with Joe and either use one of them or come up with their own definition. And we'll revisit this in 2 weeks.
we can get the answer back from them that fast. I think if we have a clear idea of what it is we're trying to define, it will be much easier to define it and figure out where to put it.
I don't think Management Council is going to define it, but Rita and Gio and Joe probably can make some progress.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, that sounds like a sufficiently small group.
Okay, actually, Susie, do you want to take the lead on writing up the some sample definitions for them to work with?
Just a minute, let me consult my office mate, who seems to have such strong opinions on this subject. Well, I'd rather wait and see what Rita and Joe come up with first, because it's hard to know.
Well, I think they're going to need something to start with, though. So I guess the question is, do we assign that task to either Ron or to you guys? And Ron's not looking very happy about it at the moment.
So what are you asking us to define, though? The problem is we don't know what the thing means, so how can we make examples?
I think the issue is not to come up with examples, but to come up with some possible different definitions that emphasize slightly different aspects of this word. Define it as the funding organization, and then come up with a definition that talks about...
Okay, we can do that.
Okay. Ron, is that okay with you? All right.
And to send it to
I also
Rita.
Have a suggestion for this. Since it seems like the Management Council thought this was important enough, how about those of us on this telecon actually talk to our managers and see if we can get their sense of what this is supposed to be.
Okay, who's close to my manager this week?
So
okay.
You don't talk to your manager much at all, Anne?
Well, he hasn't been in town much, but I think he may actually be around this week. I just haven't checked his schedule yet.
All right. Why don't folks do that, have input sent to Susie and Ed? You'll take the lead on sending some stuff to Rita, and Rita will talk with Joe and try and resolve what exactly they're looking for in terms of the meaning of the agency ID.
All right. Joe, when is your meeting with Rita?
Next week.
Next week, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
And so tomorrow we have another telecon. Actually, we might, I'm not sure if Rita is dialing in, but we might spend a few minutes on it.
Okay. We should probably have someone give Rita a heads up on this. Susie, again, are you willing to do that?
Yes, ma'am.
Or Ron will give her a call. Okay, that's fine. Ron will do that for you.
Unless you want to, Susie.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
All right. Have we beat that thing to death already?
No. It just went under the couch.
All right. Then on to the standards reference. What are we doing for time? Okay. I received input only from Joe and Ron. Does anybody else have any comments that they would like to start with? Or do you guys want me to give you a status on it, on the standards reference first? Okay. If folks can look at the standardref_review.html page, that's, I believe, the link that I sent out in the email, I have down near the bottom of that page a list of unresolved and resolved issues. As you can see from looking at the list, the majority of the things were, as I expected, formatting issues. Extra page breaks, headers that were incorrect. I inserted a few blank pages so you can print the thing out and have pages show up on the chapter heading, show up on the right-hand side, etc. Joe has raised a couple of points where the actual text of the standards reference needs to be re-examined. I think he may have a valid point that there's a problem with the example labels for both the zip and the JPEG compression, and I need to talk to some folks about that. But unfortunately, I think we're going to need to deal with that with an SCR, and I'm not sure we can get those corrections into this version.
I sure think something was left out from the original.
Well,
and I can't say for sure.
Yeah, I've got the full text of the original SCR. I mean, we can go back and check it. But
I remember those pointers being in that SCR.
We'll go back and look. We'll go back and look. So that's going to take more investigation. I'm sorry, go ahead. Did I hear somebody?
Yeah, I had a question on that. I mean, isn't there a certain level of editorial discretion that you get? Even though the SCR put in an example that was bad, I would just assume that you have some editorial discretion and make that example right.
Well, I think the real question in this case was what you mean by a pointer when you've got a compressed object and certain things aren't visible. I think Joe was really asking, what is our convention for using pointers in those cases, not necessarily an error. He just doesn't understand the logic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was not convinced there was an error, but I think there's a good possibility that there is. So, as I said, I need to investigate this further.
If there's an error, we're at least consistent.
It's consistent with the zip compression. I checked that, and it too has the same issue. So, like I say, this is not something that's easily resolved. I am willing to take the authority to fix this, but I am also willing to let you guys decide if we've resolved this correctly. It's up to you.
Well, why don't you figure out what the conventional wisdom is and then explain it to us?
Oh, great.
Well, we may be misunderstanding it, too, or maybe we never thought of it.
Right. Okay.
But
well,
I just sort of punted when we were going through that stuff originally because I don't use compressed objects and I rarely use pointers, so I just figured other people knew what they were doing.
I remember complaining about it, so if you can't tell, I'm sitting here being very smug right now. You can just kind of imagine that, you know?
We'll try.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I will talk to a few different people and find out if there is a good consensus on which way it should be used. If there is not a consensus, I'm going to bring it back to this forum and discuss it further.
Okay, I can give you a direct reference to the place where the logical problem originates.
Okay.
It is section 4.14.2, Rules for Resolving Pointers.
14.4.2?
No, 14.2. I'm sorry, I had a little verbal accident.
Okay.
Rules for resolving pointers, and the problem is that there is a statement underneath the list of how to resolve various pointers. It says, all pointers to data objects should be resolved in step one. Look in the same directory as file A. And the problem is you have a non-existent data object when you use the pointer syntax to point to a file that will not exist until it is decompressed.
Exactly.
So I haven't looked in ODL to see if that syntax is actually specific to ODL. Perhaps Steve can answer that question off the top of his head.
No.
Okay, that one's going to require more investigation.
All right, I found it by pure accident. ODL defines the circumflex as being a pointer to an object. I don't know that that has existential implications, but the character is defined as pointing to an object.
All right. Oh, boy. Why can I not find my own note? Hang on a second here, folks. Yes, web one. There you are. Okay. That one, like I say, is definitely going to take a little bit more work.
Well, it may actually be something you need to do in the next stage.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm possibly thinking. Okay. The other concern that Joe had that has a chance of getting fixed in this one is saying that there is an insufficient explanation for the DD version ID. This is the data dictionary version, and clarifying, number one, whether or not the version of the catalog is present within the catalog files itself, and number two, clarifying whether or not a single data set may contain data files that are validated against multiple different versions of the data dictionary.
There is a version number for the pdsdd.full file in the initial comments in that file.
Okay, so I can simply add text to that section of the standards reference to indicate that.
Yeah, but you have to, because it's a comment, it's free format text.
Okay.
So you have to be a little careful about what happens in the future. Once you document its existence in format, that means it should really always be there in the same format. It seems to be part of the program that extracts the .full file from the database,
okay.
So it's unlikely to change.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Then his second issue was whether or not a single data set can be validated against multiple versions of the data dictionary. I'm getting nods here.
Of course it can. There is nothing that will prevent it.
Okay.
Because nowhere in the label is it logged which version of the data set was used the first time or in any particular case. So you can't check to see if that value changes.
Okay. Then if nobody has any objections, I'm going to add a couple of lines of text to the section describing the use of the DD version ID and clarify those particular issues.
Okay. Here's a potential, and I'm sorry if this is a new issue. I hope that it's not.
Go ahead.
It is possible that, for example, there's pdsdd.full file plus a local data dictionary contributing. So I don't know if that means you need more than one value for the data dictionary ID, or if you need to suggest a syntax for modifying the dictionary identifier that's normally there in the .full file to reflect the fact that some additional keywords have been wrapped into it by the data preparer.
No, because the local data dictionaries are completely ingested into the master data dictionary.
Well, after you submit them for ingest, they are. But I suspect that if Rosetta is using a local data dictionary, that it won't be submitted until the data are submitted.
That is, I believe those keywords are supposed to be ingested prior to that. You know, I'm not the expert on this. I need to defer to you two.
Well, this, once again, this is the pacing problem that we've always had before with nothing. And I know this is changing, but this, maybe this is just a reminder that this needs to be documented and fixed somehow. It used to be that nothing from a data set made it into the permanent database until the final data set was submitted. And now the small bodies note is in the situation of having data sets that have been submitted that still don't have keywords that were approved in the data dictionary yet because everything's gotten out of sync. So once everything's synced up, maybe this problem goes away. But I don't know, so it's something for somebody at a much higher level than me to worry about.
I would guess that this is an issue to be addressed with Emily and company. Is that correct? Or
no, it's a whole procedure.
This is more an operational issue, I believe,
right,
than a standards issue.
Yeah. So you're saying that there's some keywords that are yet that are still missing from the data dictionary, even though the data sets are ingested.
That's right. It used to be the problem that nothing changed until everything changed at once. Now we've got the problem that things are not changing all at once, but some things are lagging, and so any attempt to verify things by a data dictionary version, as an example, may be subject to repeated failure because of that lag.
Surprise, surprise. We have a problem all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is normal. This is what normally happens. It's not an exception. It is always the case.
Well, exactly.
Okay, I guess what we're concerned, or question marks going off in our mind right now are, is it that we're not receiving these keywords for various reasons, and it could be, you know, the engineers aren't providing them to the sentence group. Is that the issue, or are they in the queue and we aren't addressing them? I don't know if there's anything in the queue at this time that you're talking about. That's my first question.
I don't know, because from where I'm sitting, those two things are the same thing. It's all a black box once they leave my email.
Okay, well, it has. I guess that's the fundamental question. It's left your node. In other words, the keywords are here somewhere.
I think they are, yes. I believe that I've sent them. In fact, I believe that I've sent some of them several times.
Okay. I'm, again, going to say that this is an operational issue. We will follow up here and make sure that this gets addressed.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's absolutely an operational issue. It's not a standard issue.
Okay. Okay. So then to get back to your original point, I believe that there should still be just be a single value in that DD version ID, which refers to the master data dictionary, which should contain the local data dictionary keywords.
There you go.
Okay. Okay, I guess the one remaining big issue is the index. I still need to get that added on. Other than that, pretty much everything should be done. What else was in my resolves list? Pages.
Well, I'll point out that on my PC, the PDF doesn't show up in its entirety, but on a Mac it does.
That's very bizarre.
I haven't been able to read it for years. It shows up as a broken PDF file in every Unix Linux system.
Okay, well, now this should be different this year, and because in the past it's been produced on a PC. This is the first time it's been produced on a Mac.
Okay, so I don't have a copy of version. I haven't actually tried to open the standard ref version 3.7. Tell you what, I'll download it and try to open it now, because I used to get failures just on trying to open it.
Okay, I will look. We've got lots of PC users here, and I will look at this and try and figure out what the heck's going on. I am committed to producing a PDF of this thing that can be read on all platforms.
Well, actually, the problem that I had before invariably came down to one of two things, either an included illustration, a graphic, or an obscure font, usually tied to a single symbol that was being used somewhere in the middle of text.
Like bullets showing up as question marks?
Yeah, that kind of thing,
yeah.
Although it would have to be more like an alpha, for example, because bullets are generally substituted.
Okay.
In fact, it may have been some special graphic character, and I just couldn't tell because I can't display the page.
Okay. I would appreciate feedback like that. Please send it to me. Like I say, I want to produce a version of this PDF that everybody can read.
Well, unfortunately, to verify it, you have to try to look at every single page, and there's over 400 pages of the darn thing.
There's close to 500 pages.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Good job for students.
Well, okay, we will work on it here. We've definitely got people with PCs here, and we've got people who are using this document a lot, so we'll do what we can. All right, anybody else have any other concerns that came up when they were looking this thing over, if they had a chance to?
No, but I just tried to access it through the web.
Yep.
Had the problem where it didn't, but if I downloaded the link and then brought it up off my file system, I see all 476 pages. So something about the web delivery.
That's bizarre.
Through the browser.
It may just be a file size issue depending on the server.
Yeah, it's a huge big thing.
It is, in fact, only 24 megabytes? Gosh, I would have expected larger.
I got 22, so I'm missing.
Well, it depends on how your system also measures megabytes.
True.
If it's, you know, power of 2 megabytes, then it's smaller than 10 to the 6 bytes. Hmm. I'm never sure which system is using what.
Okay. Unless anybody has any strong objections, what I'm going to do is we're going to resolve the issues that we talked about today. I will add the text for the Data Dictionary version ID. I will address the other issue that came up from Joe in regard to these pointers, and add the index. And after that, I am going to call this thing published, released, whatever. And we'll get the online interfaces fixed so that they are delivering the official document. Even after the release date, please let me know if there are problems with this document. We can always do fixes to the formatting without having to release a new version.
Well, here's the good news. This version popped right up without complaining, except that my Acrobat reader is so old that it complained that it has new things that Acrobat 5 can't read. I'm hardly surprised, frankly.
Okay. Like I say, and you should probably have less problems because it was produced on a Mac. It's going to be our PC users that are going to have trouble this time.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good.
Okay.
I just did the same thing. It comes up on my son with Acrobat.
Oddly, it only wants to show me the bottom. Oh, that's...
On my PC, I was trying to download it, and it got to 21 megs and then froze. But that was clicking directly on the link, not right-clicking and saving to do the save as.
Okay. Is everybody going to be happy with a single version of this as one entire PDF document, or do we need to produce this in chapters so that it was last time?
Last time it was both, wasn't it?
It was both, but I think it started off as just single PDF chapters, and then people complained, so it moved to one single document. Do we actually need single chapters?
Not if you have the bookmarks.
The bookmarks are in there.
Well, you know, that's part of the problem. I would like a working table of contents. I'd like to be able to click on a section number in the table of contents and get there instead of having to guess how many pages into the document chapter 9.
Oh, but... If your Acrobat supports bookmarks, all the chapters and everything and the subsections are all listed in a
son of a gun. Look at that.
Clickable.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, that's new.
The tab is so tiny, I didn't even notice that it was there off on the side. Very nice.
Yeah.
You can record that and play it back at some meeting if you like to.
All right.
Yeah, that's right. Just in case you need to hear it from time to time.
All right. Any final comments from anyone? Okay. And like I say, I'm happy to continue to hear feedback on this thing if you run into any problems in the future. Okay. I will, I guess, talk to you all in 2 weeks.
Joe, can you stay on just a minute?
1 minute, yeah.
Okay.
Elizabeth, for what it's worth, it's Mitch. I just downloaded and opened it on my PC without any problems.
Great, that's good to hear. Thank you, Mitch. Okay, great. We'll see you later, everybody.
Right.
Bye-bye.
I'm left.
Okay, well, I'm here. Ron Joyner.
Hi, Ron.
I've installed the PVV tool and I've started playing with it.
Yeah.
I've noticed some things. Who would be the point of contact to ask stupid questions of? Like, why does it do this and how do I... get around.
Send them to me. If I can't answer them, I will forward them.
Okay, just send them to you?
Yeah, I'll just send them to me. What kind of questions are there?
Well, one of them is there's a data set, a pointer to data set catalog, and there's a bracket and two data set .cat files. in double quotes, which is perfectly legal, at least in PDF side, and it's throwing an error so it won't generate the XML, and I don't know how to, without just artificially removing one of them, which I can do, I don't know how to get around that.
So actually you have a volume with two data sets on.
Yep, yeah.
Actually, we did a PSA or PDS restriction in PSA that we only accept data sets. One data set equals one volume.
Oh, that's
a very, very basic thing there. If you have actually a volume with two or three different data sets, the PDB is not designed to accept it.
Because your XML is data set specific.
Yes, actually we say we only work on data sets.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, now I know how to fix it. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the other question, just send me an email.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay, see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.